The Loose Cannons are on the air.
What are we doing? What are you doing?
Steve Hartman.
So anytime I have two live guys, they're my showmen.
And Mike Costa.
We're your boys.
All right.
No worries.
If we get that up on sportssd.com on the Cannon page, that'll put us over the top.
On Extra 1360, Fox Sports, San Diego.
The way to compete. That's the way to compete.
Hour number three, final hour for the Loose Cannons. On your home of everything San Diego sports, Extra 1360, Fox Sports San Diego. By the way, the Lonzo situation get plenty of reaction. Big Nick. Yeah, Lonzo, Lakers need a leader. I guess they shouldn't draft you. Go watch your last NCAA game. De'Aaron Fox ran circles around him.
He's a good basketball player. That's a given. I just do not see superstar in him.
Mm-hmm.
But he might be a great facilitator. You know, he's going to make people around him that much better by his passing skills, his court skills, basketball IQ. That remains to be seen. But right now, I just don't see it.
Big Nick also observed, Hartman just interrupted Costa 46,874,784 times during that San Diego State Petco segment. How did you not punch him?
It wasn't that much. He's off by a couple. Come on.
Okay.
Come on.
All right. Well, again, normally in this situation, as we count down to the start of NBA Finals Game 3, we might be really into the conversation. And I know that both of us, you picked Cleveland, right, to win the series?
Cleveland in seven.
Yeah, and I had Cleveland in six. This is a tough sell for the NBA right now. It really is. I mean, I'm praying Cleveland wins this game tonight. I would love to see Cleveland do what they did a year ago and have this miraculous comeback.
Four out of the next five.
It's over and all this. Anytime I hear that, I'm always rooting hard. Last year was like a dream NBA Finals for me. I don't think I've ever really rooted for LeBron before, but I was just all in on Cleveland last year. And watching that last seconds tick off in Game 7 when they won, I had like tears in my eyes. I was like, this is like the greatest moment of all time.
The only time I've ever not agreed with what LeBron James has done, and it had to do with the decision to go to Miami.
Yeah.
But that's all ancient water under the bridge. I love everything LeBron James is. I love the man he is off the court. I love what he is on the court. And I love that he just, it's never say die with him, whether he's the only guy who's doing it or he's got four other guys doing it or he's in the situation he's in right now. It's he and Kevin Love, and he's looking around going, where's J.R. Smith? And he's trying to get a little help here. I will not count him out, but, man, I do not have a good feeling about this game three tonight.
Well, part of my problem with the Warriors, and it's tough for me because,
Clay.
I've known Clay Thompson since he's 14.
He was a baby.
He's a great kid from a great family that I love dearly. But here's what happened to me with Golden State. And maybe follow along with us on this. It's almost like there is a PC list of teams you should root for or athletes you root for, and then there are those you root against. And I'm not quite sure how they get on that list.
Mm-hmm.
But when we talk about mainstream media, I'm talking about mainstream sports media, namely the four letter, which believes they basically have tried to rewrite the history of the sport, and they're sort of writing the scenario for us as we speak. So anything they're attached to, they seem to tell us in which direction we as fans should go. And of course, I'm quick to go the other way immediately. And as soon as someone says, this is, don't you see it? This is history. This is the greatest team ever. I mean, greatest. They won one championship 2 years ago against a Cleveland team that had no Kevin Love or Kyrie Irving. And last year, they had the greatest collapse in NBA Finals history. It had never been done before. No team had ever blown a 3-1 series lead in the NBA Finals.
Who is it?
But that 73-win Warrior team did.
Who is it you don't like on the Warriors? Is it a guy, or is it just that you're being force-fed the narrative?
The one I hate the most is Steve Kerr. Oh, there's no question. Steve Kerr.
Okay, wait, time out.
Steve Kerr has a smugness about him. You know, the fact that he's been in and out as far as the head coach is concerned. Some of the comments that he has made, some of the way he handles the media. Oh, absolutely smug.
Oh, my God.
Steve Kerr. You know,
Steve Kerr is the last guy I thought you would say.
No. He's like number one on my list.
Oh, man. I like Kevin Durant. I like the edge that Draymond Green has. I don't like Steph Curry. And I don't like Steph Curry because he does that thing with his, just a kid playing, you know, I got my mouthpiece hanging out of my mouth.
At least he's not dragging out that little girl anymore.
Thank you.
See, 2 years ago, that's what really got me going on Golden State. Was exploiting a child,
Riley,
you know,
Curry.
For ratings. Yes,
according to Willard today, though, that's America's new first family, and that everyone is in
Willard's
love.
Willard's from the Bay Area.
Everyone's in love with that. Oh yeah,
yes.
And the whole nation is glued to their TV when they're on the press.
I'm listening to Willard today talking about the upscale environment in Oakland. Yeah, there's like this one block maybe. In Oakland. I mean, he's like, yeah, there's really upscale in Oakland. I'm like, come on. All right.
Yeah. I'll put it this way. How are we going to feel?
Willard has been a lifelong, he's not a bandwagon. I will say this about Will. He's not a bandwagon
guy. But when
guy.
They move across the Bay to San Francisco, yeah. Are they still going to be everybody's darlings?
Oh, that's a good question now. You know, once they get in back into the city.
Exactly.
And they exit Oakland.
No, I have been pulling for the, I was happy when the Warriors got that championship, that was great. I mean, that was a great story to follow all year. I was pulling for the Cavs like no other last season.
Well, and then they add Durant. I mean, I get back to this Costa of, all right, if they pull it off and sweep these two games in Cleveland and go a perfect 16-0 in the playoffs, first team ever to go a perfect run in the playoffs, what is your marketing for the NBA next season? I mean, already Adam Silver just a week ago was under a barrage of questions about how this has become a two-team league.
Right. I think
is it going to be as a one-team league?
Well, your narrative is going to be one of two things. Can the Cavs get back for the fourth time in a row?
Mm-hmm.
Or who is going to topple the Warriors in 2017-2018?
Right, and let's also show you how the NBA spun things today. If you missed this, NBA.com put out a story today that the Game 2 ratings for the NBA Finals were the highest ratings since 1998, Michael Jordan's last run in the Finals with the Chicago Bulls. That is a lie. That is a flat-out lie. It was not the highest ratings since 1998, it was the most actual viewers. And as you know, ratings are skewed now because more people are watching than were before. The actual ratings for game one of this series were less than they were a year ago. And game two was higher than last year's game two. Why? Well, last year's game two was a 33-point blowout, even worse than what we saw in this year's game two. But the actual rating of this year's game two was a tick lower than the rating of game two 2 years ago. And there have been several game twos since 1998 that had higher ratings.
Matt,
look at that smug look of Steve Kerr.
SD Turtle 34 tweeted in this picture of Steve Kerr as an analyst.
Huh?
I do not.
I'm going to retweet this picture. If you don't believe the smug Steve Kerr, brilliant.
Oh, man.
Here it is. I'm retweeting it right now. Follow us at Cannon Hartman at Costa 1360.
Our buddy Ben Higgins from Kogo.
Yeah.
This was a year or two ago. This was before Steve took the. Steve, like I know him firsthand.
Yeah, Steve.
Before Kerr took the Warriors job, Ben was doing a basketball show, and I think it was for either the NBA Network or something like that, NBA.com. But Steve was in the building, and I go into the kitchen one day, and there he is. He's getting coffee. And I'm looking at him, and I go, hey, what's up, Steve? And he goes, hey, how's it going?
Yeah.
And I introduced myself, and I said, so are you going to take the job or not? Because it was days within him.
Right.
He goes, well, we'll just kind of see what happens.
Are you going to step over Mark Jackson's dead body? I mean, Mark Jackson took over the Warriors when they were one of the worst teams in the league. He built them into a 50-win team.
But he couldn't
get
over the hump.
And then they cast him aside for another broadcaster. One broadcaster for another.
And he said, well, we'll just kind of see what happens. And
look,
he winked at
look.
Me and he goes, nice talking to you.
Okay, yeah.
It was great.
Sure, to you.
To me.
So everybody else smug.
You are calling him the Drew Brees of the NBA.
Since he's become the head coach of the Warriors. I had Steve Kerr on many times. I'm with you. Great guy. He has such an interesting background. You know, his father was murdered.
Yeah.
He was a diplomat for our country.
Killed in an embassy bombing.
Embassy bombing, or something like that. It's an extremely interesting story. And I like Kerr as a player. He was a specialist, 3-point shooter, one of the best in the history of the game, won 5 rings, 3 with the Bulls, 2 with the Spurs. But when he became the coach of the Warriors, smug.
Wow.
And I don't like it. I hate when people do that when they suddenly get the bright spotlight. But never happened to the Cannons, by the way.
Never.
So, yeah, as we get into Game 3, I am rooting hard. But if the Warriors do, and I'm anxious to see how these ratings are going to hold up. I mean, I ask you out there, is tonight a must-watch game? All right, as we speak right now, are you just like getting ready for Game 3
of the
NBA Finals?
This might be the highest-rated game. Because if Cleveland is not able to win tonight, there's going to be a lot of people that are going, foregone conclusion.
But no, everyone's already saying that. There's nobody right now that's picking Cleveland to win this series.
No.
Except for maybe me.
Well, no, but
I'm rooting for
all
it to happen.
But think of all the people that are, they want to see what we want to see. Something goes 7 games.
Mm.
They will tune in tonight.
Right.
And based on what happens, they're like, all right, okay, if Cleveland wins, that's enough of a hook to come back for 4. But if the Warriors win tonight and they win in convincing fashion, there's going to be a lot of people go, all right, tell me when they crown the Warriors. Just let me know what game they win it.
Remember last year, you had 6 terrible games, 6 double-digit blowouts.
But.
Until game 7.
Game.
And that number, you see, now those are the numbers.
Yeah.
You get those games that had like a 15, 16.
Oh
that's a legitimate rating. But what we're talking about right now, there's no records being set in this series. Through 2 games, the ratings are down from where they were a year ago.
The only thing I take away from this NBA Finals so far is I'm happy for Kevin Durant because he has followed the recipe that we laid out for him when we talked with him a couple days ago, you know, before the series started.
That he had to be the dominant force in the series?
That he had to be the guy, and it had to be in more than just a game.
He's going to get shut down.
So far, KD has done that.
All right, what if he has like an 18-point game and Cleveland wins big tonight? What do you say?
But 18, is 18, do you scoff at 18?
I do when it's coming from Kevin Durant, I do.
If he has, okay, if he,
let's if he goes 6-for-19 and he scores 18 points.
Then he's screwed the pooch big time.
Yeah, exactly.
Because now
and the thing about Durant is, if you go over his track record in what have been the biggest games of his career.
Is that his track
he
record?
He has not played well. Whether it's his NBA Finals run with Oklahoma City or last year, those last 3 losses when they were up 3-1 against the Warriors and collapsed. Not that great.
Wow.
I just want to see him brick that game-winner shot. You know, like, doink!
Yeah.
Boom!
Or
man.
Instead of taking...
Oh, I'll be watching tonight, man.
Instead of taking...
Until it's obvious Cleveland's not going
to
win.
He passes it off to somebody else.
Yeah, exactly. He throws it to Pachulia, who casts off a 28-foot air ball. Boom! That would be such a perfect scenario
for
tonight's
God.
Game. Wow.
He could never come back from that. Never.
All right. By the way, they're running more commercials for Soccer City.
Oh,
they haven't given up.
That Hellcat Myrtle Cole.
Yeah.
Look at her go.
This is the funny thing. I don't know if anybody have noticed. You've seen these commercials with Landon Donovan.
I'm sorry. Not Myrtle Cole. April Bowling.
No. Forget April
Myrtle
Bowling.
Cole's on our side.
No, but that's the point. So they've been running these commercials, right?
Yeah.
And it shows Landon Donovan, and he's saying, call your city council person.
You must call your city.
But over the last 2 days,
it's Myrtle
it
Cole.
Says Myrtle Cole. Like, it's like Myrtle Cole's like home number. I don't know what this number is.
Because she's
says,
the deciding
he's
vote.
He's like, call your local city council. But then that like bright, right, like across his face, Myrtle Cole.
That's right.
Because Myrtle, she's got the deciding vote as the head of the city council. All right, so. Oh!
Oof. Sorry, we sometimes get distracted by what's in on the other monitors in studio, especially when it's a woman getting run over by a train.
It survives it.
And surviving, but I don't want to look anyhow. Yeah, but we're talking.
Okay. No, I mean,
Soccer
the bottom
City
line
is
it's that,
desperation time.
Well, but we don't know where they're standing right now. They had the worst 24 hours imaginable when they had the city council turn down the $5 million to appropriate for a special election and then follow it up with the city putting an $83 million price tag on that property. Yikes. So we were supposedly going to get some major statement. Remember our buddy Carl DeMille yesterday at Kogo had said that he had been informed, and he's a guy to know, that the FS investors are about to make a major statement. But I think that went by the wayside as soon as that $83 million price tag was put on that Mission Valley property.
Yeah, it was a it was a gut punch that they probably were not expecting.
So they're reloading right now. I mean, what are they going to do, Costa?
Are they
going to meet the price? Remember, they could still have a special election. They're just going to have to pay for it. That's if it's still approved by the city council.
The mayor is going to veto. And what's that veto? All that veto is, it's going to put $5 million back in his proposed budget.
Yeah, but it still has to be approved by the council.
It still has to be approved by the council. And I believe Jack said it's a 6-1 or a 5-3 or whatever the numbers are as far as the vote is concerned.
They don't have the votes for the mayor.
And some people, and that's the reason we're seeing Myrtle Cole's name.
Yes.
Flashed all over Sucker City's TV ads.
Anybody even heard of Myrtle Cole before? I love the name Myrtle.
It's nice. I know she was on the city council, but I couldn't pick her out of a lineup.
Yeah.
But she was everyone says she was the deciding vote, yay or nay, as far as what the
call Myrtle Cole.
The gut punch the mayor got a couple days ago. Mm-hmm. But still, it comes down to, are they going to say, okay, let's have this special election? And a lot of people still say this is now the mayor putting the $5 million back in. Now he's going to use that to grease some palms for some of those people. Most of them are Democrats on the city council to try to get one of them to jump and
yeah, but the Democrats are being controlled by the unions.
Well, there we go.
See, that's the whole point. We always know that Democrats are attached to unions. You always have union support if you're a Democrat. They're one and the same. Well, the Democrats are not going to go against the unions because the union's fear is if you bring in the FS investors, they're going to bring their own people in to build the project. And the unions are like, no, you're not. You're going to hire union people at union wages to build that property up in Mission Valley. So you're not going to get any politicians to cross people that are putting money in their coffers. Otherwise, you are an ex-politician and have to get a real job.
Yes.
You see, instead of having people pay for you, I don't even understand. What do these people do? Seriously. I mean, what exactly is their job other than showing up for photo ops or basically mouthing off in favor of those that have put money in their pockets?
It is,
and this is on both sides. This is across the aisle. I don't understand.
It is a great job for people well-schooled in semantics, highly trained in saying a lot of words without really any substance to what you're saying. And it is a great way
But what is their actual purpose? I mean, what are they?
Their purpose is to listen to their constituents.
And
then to take that, what they have learned from them, into very, very serious votes as far as things that are on the docket with the city council, things that have to do with the areas that they represent.
What happens if you promise something and then you don't deliver?
You're not a politician for very long.
Then they get somebody else.
Then they just get somebody else in there.
What you're saying is then they're beholden to an individual. They're not really representing everybody. They're representing whoever it is that's put the most money in the coffers.
And that's where special interest groups come in, and that's why a lot of people have a big problem with the big lobbyists out there as well.
The thing about it is, we always talk about corruption at the highest level because it gets the most attention. But we have found there is far more corruption on local levels than there are on the federal or state levels.
Is there any politician out there that you've ever met on a local or national level where you didn't come away thinking, where can I go wipe my hand? I feel kind of greasy.
No, because I don't care.
Because you can't trust them.
Well, first of all, they're always friendly and they always shake your hand.
Exactly.
And they've been taught, hopefully, to look you in the eye.
Yes.
Say your name, all that. And you walk away like they knew me. It was unbelievable.
I'm going to vote for him or her.
We've been friends forever. Yeah. I'm not in any way swayed by that. Yes, Brent.
Well, before I got into sports here, I did political talk radio for 10 years in Wisconsin.
Yes, oh, here we go.
I have never met, and I've met close to 50, including the governor on multiple occasions. I have never met a mean politician.
Really? No, of course not.
Well, yeah.
You and Scott Walker were like side by side.
Yeah, and he's got a huge bald spot on top of his head.
Yes, I know. But he was nice to you, right?
Oh, yeah. He was super nice because, you know, he's pretty much just a big dork. So he's nice. But they're
Will
all
be
nice
better
because
off
they
right now with Scott Walker as president of the United States.
Probably about the same. That's why he didn't win the primary.
Okay.
But yeah, they're all nice because they want your vote. So
Would he have gone to the same people that have helped out Costa with the top of his head?
Oh, Advanced
he
Aesthetics.
Drop him a line.
If he would have known about Advanced Aesthetics and Melinda and Scout Micropigmentation,
you know, that
he would be in the
spot,
Oval Office today.
I never even noticed until I stood by him.
Thank
like,
you, Brent.
All right. We'll get more of your feedback, obviously, on what's the next move. We had an overwhelming poll yesterday, which 90% of you, and a lot of votes came in, said, can we get back to the idea of bringing the NFL back to San Diego? But San Diego State, they're our concern right now. What is their next move? We're going to tell you coming up next.
Hey, Orenberger here. Mark your grid show coming up at noon tomorrow. Did LeBron James do it? Did he battle back in Game 3 and finally get a win in the finals? We'll talk about it on Extra 1360 Fox Sports San Diego.
Cannons cruise along with you here on this beautiful Wednesday. Those of you new Cannon family members up in the Inland Empire listening on Fox Sports 1350, you were invited every single day to get in for the Cannon shot of the day. Call, tweet, text. We're giving away a four-pack of tickets at the San Diego County Fair out of Del Mar. The winner today.
Our buddy Tom Krasovic.
What's Big TK doing today?
He had written an article the other day talking about when then San Diego Stadium was first built 50 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
State of the art.
Oh, yeah.
NFL commissioner. This is it opened up right after the merger. Mm-hmm. So they knew that the Chargers were eventually going to be part of the National Football League in those last few years of the AFL. And Roselle looked at this new stadium, state of the art. Everything was built on time. It was got a 72% approval in the vote.
It cost
in
like
San Diego
$83 or something to build.
Well, in today's money, $190 million. That's today's money. Okay. And it came in on time. Yeah. There were no delays, and it opened up.
No.
New home of the Chargers, new home of the Aztecs, and, of course, a couple years later, the new expansion Padres. No problem.
No.
So, you know, I'm trying to figure out some of the math right now when we get back to San Diego State. So, again, you said we may have a statement here from FS Investors.
This is all they've said after the double punch to the nickels that they received in the last 24 hours. And I quote, while we haven't yet had the opportunity to analyze the appraisal, we can certainly say the amount is substantially greater than we anticipated. They note that a local development firm valued the land last fall between $25 million and $50 million, went on to say, we will need time to examine the findings and their impact on the project's feasibility before commenting further.
Well, and think about this, all right? So they already come in with a lot of overhead. They have $150 million expansion fee, and they are budgeting for a $40 million loss. Mm-hmm. Remember, the MLS is working on a negative right now.
Oh, yeah.
So basically what you're doing is, it's a Ponzi scheme. You got to have money coming in, and you're banking that eventually
it evens out.
You'll turn a profit.
Yes.
But right now it's on a negative cash flow as a whole. And they budgeted for that. So they basically said, all right, we're in a $190 million hole just from the MLS standpoint.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you talk about the cost of everything that they have planned, it's in excess of about $340 million. And now there's a price tag of $83. I mean, it's starting to add up right now. Now, what's interesting, why I bring this up is you mentioned they're saying, wow, this is a little steep because somebody else said 25 to 50 million.
It was the JMI people who came up with that figure.
And they came up with that figure working for San Diego State.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're San Diego State right now, not only are the FS investors blown away by that price tag, I can guarantee you San Diego State's like, what?
Oh, yeah.
$83 million? Where'd you come up with that number?
But San Diego State is also thinking in terms of what San Diego State's always said just 35 acres. Not the whole kit and caboodle.
It doesn't
right?
matter what they're saying. Whatever the price tag is attached to that 35 acres. Look, they were expecting to, they were hoping, I guess not hoping, but they were expecting that the FS investors were going to get a deal, that there was really no value to the land until it's actually developed. Remember, FS investors agreed to, we'll develop the river park, mm-hmm. we'll do this, we'll do that. Remember, the stadium alone is going to cost them in excess of $100 million. Start adding it all up. And FS investors are like, what are we talking about here? But San Diego State could be, if the JMI was basically trying to give San Diego State an idea of the value of the land, and they came of that $25 to $50 million. So remember, San Diego State's not going to come up with that money. They have to hook up with an investment group.
I think which they will do. But
JMI is going to say, there's no way that's an $80 million property.
Again, not knowing the logistics of public land and appraisals and how long they're held is, like, that's the gospel truth before you can go get another one. I'm not sure. It's not lost on San Diego State that, San Diego State is not going to have a big campaign and raise over $120 million to buy that land down there and then go ahead and build the stadium themselves. We are all aware that they are going to have to partner with somebody, be it JMI, be it Doug Manchester, be it a third party that comes up in the RFP, the request for proposal, hopefully at the process that they go through. What I'm starting to get concerned about now for San Diego State is the fact that time is now becoming of the essence. We're almost halfway through 2017. Before we know it, this football season is going to become here and gone. And then, we're looking at 2018. And if there is no traction, there is nothing, then I'm really concerned.
Well, that's my whole point. And San Diego State is under fire right now because San Diego State either needs to figure out where they're going to have a home, permanent home, mm-hmm. for their football program, or they're going to have to do away with the football program.
I think San Diego State, if I was a betting man and you gave me $1 million cash and said, lay it on this, I lay it on the fact that they are in conversations with somebody. I don't know who that is, but that plan is going to be rolled out pretty soon. But I think they're waiting now to see what's going to happen with the mayor, the rigmarole about the veto, and then what happens at the special election.
So you do believe there's an investment group out there that's going to meet that asking price of $83 million. And by the way, that's a lowball figure. That's like even Jack Cronin conceded that number could go up to $110 million.
Steve, it's that or an investment group comes to San Diego State, they get together, and they say, this is how much acreage we need to see our plan for school expansion and stadium done.
All right, let's get a couple of quick calls in. Let's go to Ryan. Ryan, welcome. You're on with the Loose Cannons.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
So, Ryan, thanks.
What San Diego State should do is get together with some of the NFL owners that are looking to leave the city, like Jacksonville. I think it'd be a good idea that they all put their heads together and come up with something. What do you guys think?
You know what? Shad Khan is the owner of the Jacksonville Jaguars, the Pegula family. Terry, yes. And is Terry the woman or the husband?
I'm not sure.
They're the owner of the Bills.
Mr. and Mrs.
Mr. and Mrs. They're the two teams that everyone seems to point at when the next big move is coming. So, yeah,
right.
Ryan, in answer to your question, that would be a smart move. But as that caller raised yesterday, if they do want to move, does the NFL, does San Diego look that great to the NFL to
again,
have to?
It
then,
looks great if you build a $2 billion stadium.
Yeah, but Steve,
nobody cares. You could have a team in Anchorage. If they came up with a $2 billion stadium, guess what? The NFL's moving to Anchorage.
And maybe you do. Let's say it is the Bills. You move the Bills out here and they still continue to play in the AFC East. Who knows?
Gary is next. Gary, you're back on with the Cannons.
Hey, Cannons. I heard from Brandon lately. I'm a little worried about him.
I haven't heard from Brandon at all over the last 48 hours now.
I'm worried. I think he might have taken us pretty hard. But, Steve, you're absolutely right. If the amount they're asking for is that much, you really can't put anything on there but make it all commercial. you have to get your money back somehow. So I don't see how you can even put a stadium on there. You have to have pretty much have to maximize the entire lot, you know, the entire area. And I just, and as far as San Diego State playing at Petco, I don't see it. I just think the logistics are so tough that you might get away with it for 1 year, but after that, it's going to be tough.
No, you can't start every year with five games on the road.
No,
yeah, and guys, that would be that's exactly what would have to happen starting listen, in 2020 that, if they never come up with an alternative.
That backloaded schedule alternative is not being talked about by Ron Fowler or San Diego State as this could be the plan going forward forever. No, it is a 2020 single year fix if in fact
for 2020.
Door, right.
What happens in 2021 if San Diego State still doesn't have a stadium?
All bets are off. I have no clue. I have no clue.
So you're telling me that the Padres, and as always, Gary, good stuff. So that's only for 2020.
Only for 2020.
So 2019, they can tear up that field, no problem.
Correct.
And they are going to tear that field up.
All football games do on grass.
Right, tear it up.
You're making it sound like they're going to go in there to destroy the field on purpose.
They have a Saturday game, right?
Yeah.
And then the Padres have a Saturday night game.
I will tell you this. Odds are.
Yes.
The Aztecs would go to the Mountain West Conference. They would look at their out-of-conference schedules, and they would try to have the least amount of home games in Petco Park in the early part of their schedule. To avoid doing what you just said.
Are we counting on the Padres to be a contending team in 2019?
They better
hope
not.
Are we waiting until 2020?
Okay. Listen, there's going to be a lot of finger crossing, and oh my God, please don't let them contend this year.
By the way, the Aztec schedule for 2019 is already set.
Yes. There'll be some juggling going on.
Unless, of course, we come up with a solution.
That's all we got to do, folks.
Which, based on that signal problem I had today, does not seem likely. If you want to get some final thoughts in, give us a call, 570-1360. Follow us on Twitter, at Cannon Harbin and Acosta1360. Text us at 70470.
All right, we're going to let you know who gets to take home the San Diego Fair tickets for winning the Cannon Shot of the Day after this.
Coming up tomorrow morning on Hardwick and Richards, if the Cavs are facing a clean sweep, does it set back the legacy of LeBron James? Also, San Diego County Fair tickets, what up? We've got them. We get started 6 a.m. on Extra 1360, Fox Sports, San Diego.
All right, coming down the stretch of the Cannons on this Wednesday. A reminder, tomorrow out at Sequan at their golf resort out there for LT's tournament. I hope we have a chance to talk to LT. Got a lot to catch up on with him.
He'll come on the air if he knows what's good for him.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, I'm just curious, you know, now that he's entrenched with the L.A. Chargers organization.
That's right.
See how that's going.
Get some real talk from LT.
Yeah, so that'll be tomorrow on the show. By the way, one guy that better show up tonight for Cleveland, if they have a ghost of a chance, is J.R. Smith. He's doing this big story on he and his wife, their daughter, a premature baby. The good news is that, you know, it was touch and go for a while.
Right.
But J.R. Smith has been an absolute missing person.
3 points in two games.
Two games total, 1-for-6 shooting, 3 points, 2 rebounds, 0 assists, 0 steals, 0 blocks. There was a lot of talk that Shumpert was going to start in his place in game 3, but Tyronn Lue said, nope, we're going to go with J.R.
Well,
I don't know. Do you have a gut feeling at all about that? I mean, can you envision? I mean, you have to have a vision, right?
I can't.
People always say that. Can you vision game's over and goal and Cleveland's won the game?
No, I can't.
You can't?
No. Because they didn't stop Kevin Durant in these first two games.
Well, they don't have to stop Durant. They just have to play better. I mean, the no-shows on this team. First of all, Kyrie Irving was 8-for-27 in the last game. Mm-hmm. He has to shoot the ball much better. But they've got nothing. I mean, Darren Williams has been a no-show. Kyle Korver's been a no-show. J.R. Smith's been a no-show. Tristan Thompson, by and large, has been a no-show. I mean, these guys have to show up. A lot of people, one of the reasons that people were siding with Cleveland is that they seem to have upgraded their bench and Golden State seemed to be downgraded slightly. But that Cleveland bench has been a zero. They haven't done anything. So
I think what you're seeing is
they
just
need Channing Frye to start making some threes.
Oh.
You know, they need somebody to give this team a spark.
I would love to see Cleveland win said game this evening.
Yes.
I don't have a good feeling that they're going to.
Look at you.
Sorry. Me of so little faith.
Well, you picked the Cleveland Cavaliers in seven anyway.
I did. And
so
I thought,
if I had told you before you made your pick that Golden State will hold home court in the first two games, would you have still said Cleveland in seven? Yes.
Yes, you would have said, I would
of course
have.
I would. Why not?
I would have. But after watching the way Golden State has won these first two.
Yeah, what about it?
I'm not full of a lot of confidence.
What have you
confidence.
Forgotten last year?
That was last year, my friend.
Yeah, well, history can repeat itself, right, Brent?
It does all the time, but well, I don't feel good about this.
The thing with the last year argument is, so they beat them by, what, combined 48 points in the first two games last year?
Yes, exactly.
And everyone's argument is, well, they got KD this year. Well, then they should have beat him by like 60 points in the first two games this year, right? Because they have KD, and they're so much better than everyone else.
I'm still. And then there's that smug Kerr on the bench. He'll be the death of the Warriors. I'm ready for Fusion tomorrow. We're all going to be at that golf course tomorrow.
Oh,
that's going to be ready. I'm ready for Mr. Warrior himself.
Oh, the apologist.
I am so prepared when Cleveland wins tonight to go after Willard. Yeah. Yeah. Ready.
Again, when they move across the bay back into San Francisco or into San Francisco,
right. Excuse me. Yeah.
Are they still going to be everyone's
even
darlings?
More smug? Because
yes.
They're in the city.
In the city.
Mm-hmm. Moses has a quick call here.
Okay.
Moses, I didn't see you were there. How are you today, Moses?
Beautiful, man. It's beautiful, beautiful. Thanks for taking it. Hey, just real quick, I know I'm up against the time, but I was just watching some video clips of old fights, and I came across Foreman versus Lyle. We're going back to 76.
Sure, absolutely.
One of the most bloodiest, brutalist things I've ever seen. Makes Hagler Hearns look like a slap fight.
Oh, yeah, those were classic heavyweight fights. Ron Lyle, well, very underrated, yes.
Near right before I think the fourth round was about to start, where Foreman went down twice, actually, you can hear Cosell on the voiceover saying, "We've just confirmed the second round was, in fact, only 2 minutes long." And someone asked him, like, it was inaudible, and all of a sudden he goes, "I confirmed that my executive producer, Chet Forty, hand-timed the round. It was only 2 minutes." It just got me thinking about your old partner back in the day.
Well, Moses, any mention of my beloved Chet Forty, you know, last year we did the 20th anniversary. I can't believe he's been gone that long, but knowing Chet, he probably had a bet on the fight. That's why he was back
you're
in the
right.
day, he would not have denied it. Believe me, Moses loved the story. Thank you. All right, let's get to our cannon shot of the day. We need one more qualifier. Drum roll, please. This hour's cannon shot came from
text. Every once in a while, I'm hit with this thought: how in the holy sweet swaddled and sleeping baby Jesus are we in the eighth largest American city?
That's a good point. Yes.
Hour number two, text. The Hindenburg and Mayor Faulkner both have something in common. They were full of gas and eventually went down in flames. Hour number one, text. My daughter's eighth grade student council is better than this city council.
All right. It's that time again for a four-pack of tickets to the San Diego County Fair. Drum roll, please. Today's winner of the cannon shot of the day. Yes.
Eighth grade student council better than the city council.
Who do we thank today, Mr. Costa?
Alan Sliwa, ESPN LA. An interview with him available in the podcast center, sportssd.com. Goes without saying, Ernie Tipisivio, Carmelo Martinez, the angry badger, Brent Sperry, and last but never least, you brave men and women of the United States Armed Forces, for what you do and what you've done for us.
You know, I haven't seen Ernie for like an hour. I think he is in a deep slumber after inhaling more food with two fish tacos from Sombrero than he has inhaled in more than 2 months. If he's still awake, he'll be arriving for the power hour shortly. On your home of everything San Diego sports, Extra 1360, Fox Sports, San Diego.